The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Glad to have everyone along for the ride here on Sports 360 AZ. This is the Brad Sessmatt Show on this Wednesday morning. I, though, am in fact Devin Henry here along with you for today's show. And, you know, it's midweek. The D-backs lost again to the Dodgers last night. You know, you would think that there's not that much going on, would you? But no, in fact, we are going to talk Diamondbacks because there could be a potential all-star on this team here. Voting ends tomorrow at 1 p.m., so we're getting very close to that. Also, the Arizona Rattlers play in the conference championship game for the Indoor Football League. That is this Saturday night. So we're going to talk a little bit about that to make sure that we are all kind of caught up on what's going on with the Arizona Rattlers, arguably the most successful team in the state of Arizona right now. Meanwhile, on top of that, we're going to talk some Phoenix Mercury and Women's World Cup because I'm going to wrap around. We're going to wrap around the state of Arizona, guys. Make sure that you guys got everything that you need for what's going on in Arizona. We'll talk some motorsports as well. But the number one thing that I want to touch on is beginning this weekend as well, June 30th, that's Sunday, free agency. NBA free agency starts. You can't sign anything until a week later. But free agency actually begins. And obviously lots of rumors around the Phoenix Suns. What could they do? And we're also going to look around the league with the big headliners, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. What the heck is going to go on with them because of their injuries? The issues with Chris Paul and James Harden. There's just a lot to dissect here when it comes to the NBA free agency season right now. And our rundown is brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, guys. I slapped my face here on the microphone. Do that with life insurance. And like I said last week, I got my ducks in a row, literally. Like, we have rubber ducks, and they're in a row. It's pool season, guys. But as if you know anything about me, like, no other ducks are in a row at all. Call and check if your ducks are in a row. Doesn't have to be anything crazy. Hey, Brad is licensed with Sagicor. He believes in what they do. They believe in what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. Give our friends at Sagicor a call to see, do I have my ducks in a row, or are there a few waddling out of control? Go ahead, call them, find out. We appreciate Sagicor and their support here at Sports360AZ.com. Man, it's getting hot outside. It's getting really, really hot outside. But it's a little bit later in the year than I think that we were expecting it to get hot. If you live in Arizona, you know for a fact that it's going to be hot outside. It's going to be triple digits when we hit June. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the weather in May. You should have too, because it's not very common. And since it's heating up, our content on the site has been heating up as well. Be sure to check out sports360az.com. Jordan Hamm has been doing fantastic on what we have going on around the state in high school football. You would think nothing is going on because the first football game of the year isn't until the last Friday of August. But guys, there's so much going on the website because of recruiting. It's blowing up here. So Malik Reed from Chandler, he's a linebacker committed to Wisconsin. Jordan's got the down low on that. How about Jalen Early and Millennium? They're going to be a contender in the 5A conference this year. He talks about what's going on with him. Andrew Milek, Brophy, USC. That's a big name college. There's just so much going on. Then, of course, the exclusive-ish one-on-one with Perry quarterback Chubba Purdy going in-depth on his Louisville commit. The reason why I say exclusive is because Jordan gets nitty-gritty. He gets down there and he figures out. And he talks with Chubba and gets pretty deep into why Chubba picked Louisville over groups like Arizona State, for instance. And that's something that Brad wrote about. Why? Why did Chubba say no to his hometown team? Why? So a lot of great stuff up on our website right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But we also, of course, have some D-back stuff going on. And what I want to start with, since, you know, I hope you're watching Brad Sessmatt Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona, because we do a lot of football, and speaking of football, K1, Kyler Murray, the new quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. I was going to say head coach. That's someone else. They're the new head coach for the Arizona Cardinals. If you don't know any of that, I don't even understand why you're here, but we're happy to have you here at the very least. So, went out, threw the first pitch alongside the Coyotes draft pick Victor Soderstrom, and it was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining, that I would say, over at Chase Field, because Soderstrom actually used his stick to toss the first pitch, and it was actually pretty entertaining because it wasn't like it wasn't a strike, but it was it got there, and it was a pretty good pitch. And then I was excited to see Kyler Murray throw out a pitch because we all know that he's a baseball guy, and so I wasn't able to catch the beginning of the broadcast last night because I was out and about. So I expected to come on to Twitter and find just a boatload of stuff on Kyler Murray's first pitch in the Arizona Diamondbacks game to another Sooner, Archie Bradley, who went to Oklahoma. And so looked around on Twitter. The new Arizona Cardinals quarterback, who was a first-round selection in the MLB draft as well, they missed it. The broadcast and Chase Field, they missed it. They missed the video of Kyler Murray throwing out the first pitch. The only person who really got a good, decent look at Kyler Murray throwing the first pitch was Mark McClune on his cell phone, and that was it. That is the only guy who actually was able to get a decent look. Because what I wanted to see was, one, did he throw a strike? Because he hasn't thrown a baseball in a long time. I'm sure that he would have, regardless. So I was just so interested in where's that ball going to land, because on one hand, I just want him to rip a heater, man. I want him to knock Archie Bradley off the freaking home plate. That'd be awesome. On the other hand, you don't need your starting quarterback to get Tommy John surgery before the season begins. One of these things, you know, it'd be really cool, but on the other end, it's really unnecessary and not needed. He did not throw any heat, from what I can kind of see. At least a little bit. Is it got in the strike zone? Because unfortunately, Mark McClune is way off on the side. And so from what you can see, Sarstrom, pretty good hit. Murray, Bradley doesn't have to get up. So good enough hit, I guess. I'm just so disappointed that nobody, not a single soul actually caught video of Kyler Murray from behind throwing that pitch. It's nowhere. If you can find it, tag me. Devin Henry 77. I would love to see it because it ain't there. It ain't there. Let's talk actual D-backs now. Lost to the Dodgers yesterday. And this is something that I think that I'm going to disagree with a lot of people because I believe that this is a wild card team. Lost to the Dodgers 3-2. I'm fine with that. More than happy with that. Right now, D-backs are outscoring the Dodgers in this two-game series thus far 10-8. I'm okay with that 1-1. I'm okay with that. The Dodgers have completely run away now. We're in June, guys. The Dodgers have the NL West. The Dodgers are going to be in the playoffs. They're not going to be a wild card team. They're going to own the NL West. I think that's obvious just by the productivity of both the offense and the defense by the LA Dodgers right now. Meanwhile, we still have one more game today. What time? First pitch going to be in about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Then directly after that, big road stand. Four games against the Giants, then two games in LA against the Dodgers. Once again, important games. Of course, you want the D-backs to win this game now, back under 500 by one game. Beating the Dodgers would be a evening out to 41-41 on the year. And goodness, guys, can you believe this is game number 82? This is the conclusion of an NBA season. And the D-backs are right around that halfway mark of the MLB season. They're still around 500. I still think that that is going above the expectations that a lot of people had at the start of this year. And part of the reason for that are it's guys who have stepped up this year. David Peralta has stepped up this year. And someone who has quietly stepped up and has quietly been very good across the MLB, Ketel Marte. He right now is in the All-Star hunt. He's a top three finalist to be the All-Star second baseman for the NL team. And he just had an MLB or a Diamondbacks franchise record, that being multiple hits in eight straight games now. That beat Luis Gonzalez's. I think both of those are technically correct. Luis Gonzalez's old record of seven. And no one in baseball has been able to even go nine games, which he has the ability to do tonight, since Mark Grace back in the 90s. So productivity-wise, at home plate, he's been phenomenal. Second base, he's been pretty dang good. He's an all-star caliber player, and you look at this D-backs roster, and of course, if the position wasn't so stacked across the MLB, being in the outfield, David Peralta would probably be in an all-star category fight, too. So, in my mind, there's two potential all-stars on the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team that's 500 midway through the season, and voting is coming to an end here for the all-star game, I want to say tomorrow at 1 p.m., yeah, it started today. So it's a 28-hour window. It started today, an hour and a half ago. Voting started for the finalists to decide who's going to be the starter for the All-Star game. It ends tomorrow at 11 a.m. And so there's going to be multiple All-Stars on this Arizona Diamondbacks team. This is a team that can still win the wild card. Jordan Hamm will talk plenty more about that when we come back here on Sports 360 AZ. I want to move on, though, to some indoor football action because the Arizona Rattlers are at home, not in the Snake Pit home down in Phoenix, but they will be in Glendale at Gila River Arena to play the Nebraska Danger. This will be the place that the Rattlers call home until past 2022 at the very least. So I'm a fan of indoor football because I like offense, and the Arizona Rattlers are arguably the greatest franchise and dynasty in the state of Arizona over the past 20, 30 years, guys. This is a team going for nearly double-digit world championships. The D-backs have one. They got one. Then you have the Arizona Rattlers, over half a dozen. Not even near the amount of time that they've been around compared to other teams like the Phoenix Suns. So, unfortunately, the Sugar Skulls did go down in first-round action to Sioux Falls. And if the Sugar Skulls would have won that game, we would have, for the fifth time this year, an interstate game between the Sugar Skulls and the Arizona Rattlers. So, as much fun as that could have been, you can't help but look at this Sugar Skull team and go, dang, what they did was impressive. This is an expansion league team. This is a first-year team that went out, made the playoffs, and they had the lead midway through the game, tried to put on a comeback, but they just couldn't beat the Storm. And Kevin Guy has got to be happy. That's right, the head coach of the Rattlers, who happens to own the Tucson Sugar Skulls. It's just such a strange dynamic. You're not going to see that anywhere else in sports where one team's head coach is the owner of an opposing team. You're not going to see that in any other sport, but it is good for the Indoor Football League to have a relationship like this to help grow teams. They had a boatload of expansion teams this year, for quite frankly, indoor and arena football has been declining over the past many years. So this is a great thing for the sport, great thing for the franchises. And the Arizona Rattlers are more than likely going to beat up on the Nebraska Danger, hopefully, a redemption from last year's loss in the conference championship. And if they win, the IFL championship game will be in Glendale, Arizona. So, chance for Arizona to pick up another national world championship, regardless of what you think about the Arizona Rattlers. We're going to move on. Coming up next year on the Brad Sesmatch Show, we're going to talk everything NBA free agency here. Be sure to stick around here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. I'm Devin Henry. We will see you here in just a bit. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatch Show here on Sports360AZ.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Throwing up some stuff on the website right now, actually. The Arizona Race Report, going over what's going on in Arizona here when it comes to motorsports. The ASCS Southwest Series, big shakeup. Big shakeup in the points. They're going to race this week and then take a two-month hiatus. So something can happen this week that changes the entire landscape of the point series there. And then we have 2 months to just sit and think about it. Of course, also talking about some NASCAR, too. You can go check that out on sports360az.com. But for now, we're going to talk about the Phoenix Suns' interesting offseason. TJ Warren is gone. Two good pickups in the NBA draft, and we have already talked about this quite a bit, especially Brad last week, talking about, you know, what it necessarily means. And while I really like TJ Warren, I get attached to players way too easily, but liked him as a guy, it seemed like, and okay, so now he's gone. Of course, he's going to be gone now because they're trying to do something different. This team won 19 out of 82 games last year, if you're not making moves in the offseason, you're not going to progress, because this is a team that desperately needs some sort of a change, just something, anything at all, to help this team move forward. And that, in terms, is going to come with trying to get some money to go after players in free agency. We saw this with Tyson Chandler when they were trying to get Chandler Parsons, and it just straight up didn't work. And so, Suns get rid of TJ Warren, move some pieces around, pick up some other guys like Ty Jerome and Cam Johnson from the draft. And so, the Phoenix Suns have opened up $14 million for next year. And you would think, wow, Devin, that's a lot of money. I wish I made that over the course of 10 years. And I'd say, well, yeah, so do I. The difference here is that the big name that everyone's saying that the Suns need to go get, this is going to be tough. D'Angelo Russell wants around $25 million per year. You're only about $11 million short of the guy that everyone thinks that you should get from the point guard position. I'm of the opinion, move on. I don't think that D'Angelo Russell is going to be a great prospect for this team moving forward, simply because he needs the ball. You know that you already have a guy who needs the ball in Devin Booker. This is a franchise play. He's a franchise player, man, who eventually is going to want to leave, because this team has stunk for the past few years. Last year, last offseason, Devin Booker said, "I am sick of losing," and then he had his worst season of his career with this team. Eventually, Devin Booker is going to find somewhere else that he's going to want to go who has money. Before we even talk about free agency, I'm going to talk about two teams who look really, really good for prospects to go to who are free agents this year. That's the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. Who the heck would have thought that we'd be saying that, especially for the Jazz after Gordon Hayward leaves and goes on over to the Boston Celtics, and that blows up. Literally, because Al Horford and Kyrie Irving probably aren't coming back, and so he's there all by himself now. So where should the Suns turn to instead? Because the Suns have to give up about another $11 million. That doesn't include that Dragan Bender is a free agent, and they might just not bring him back because he hasn't been that good. Now you got Dario Saric to replace him from Minnesota, if I'm even saying that right, and I don't think that's a piece that's going to end up staying here very long. So let's go through here a couple of different possibilities for the Phoenix Suns. And one name that kind of pops out who isn't that big shot point guard that you want, going to cost a lot of money. How about Patrick Beverley? He's been with the Houston Rockets with a run and gun Mike D'Antoni offense that I think that a guy like Devin Booker will have the ability to thrive in moving forward in his career. Patrick Beverley might be a good name to help lead this offense. Yeah, of course, he's 30 years old, but he has the ability to facilitate and score when needed, which is a point guard that I think is what Devin Booker really needs to succeed in Phoenix. Someone who can get him the ball, get him open, get him good looks, because I'm going to go back to a 70-point game against the Boston Celtics. Not a terrible team at the time. And at the end of the day, wow, that's a lot of points. Not a lot of people can do that. I don't care what you say about that performance or what you say about Devin Booker. That's hard to do. End of the day. So when you look at guys from the point guard position like Patrick Beverley, okay, 9 points a game, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, Mavericks interested. The Dallas Mavericks are going to be a spot that people are going to want to go with Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic because, well, that's really, really nice place to be. So that is, in terms, someone else who the Suns can go after to solve their point guard problem right now. But like I mentioned last week, maybe this isn't a question that you want to get answered right now. Maybe this is something where you go like the Toronto Raptors, and it's like a swap meet. You're exchanging to get something better, and eventually find your way up to your point guard of the future. It doesn't need to be answered now. This is not a win-now team. This is a 19-win team who would be more than happy to have 28 wins next year. Just saying. Looking at the rest of the NBA, though, this is a guy who I think a lot of people aren't looking at, who's going to make a lot of money, who's going to mean a lot to a team. That's Chris Middleton from the Milwaukee Bucks. He is an unrestricted free agent, veteran of 7 years, averaged 16 points last year. Look out, this forward might be a guy on the Los Angeles Lakers next year. And why do I say that? Go back and look at that All-Star game, guys, and how LeBron James loved Chris Middleton in that game. Chris Middleton was almost the MVP of that game and helped lead the Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo to where they are right now. Chris Middleton was a big part of that core, along with Eric Bledsoe and a couple of other role players. Chris Middleton is going to be a name that a lot of people, I think, in the future might be looking at and going, dang, that would have been a really good pickup for someone. And I don't think that him going to the Lakers is going to be that big of a surprise with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That might be a great place for someone like Chris Middleton. Someone else who I was a little disappointed in this past couple of years, that's Frank Kaminsky. I loved Frank the Tank coming out of college, and I was kind of hoping that he was going to kind of slide back in the NBA draft that he came in, and unfortunately he didn't, and we got some dude at number 13 named Devin Booker instead that year. So Frank Kaminsky, he played with the Hornets for the past 4 years. He is now a free agent, primarily the power forward center position, but you got that answer if you're Phoenix. Maybe it's a guy that you look forward to, maybe at a power forward spot, but that's an issue right now at the NBA, is that big guys just aren't really necessary right now, if you will. Big guys aren't necessarily needed because of how spread out the floor has gone in that small guard lineup that the Warriors started about 4 or 5 years ago. Downside of Kaminsky is that he has never played a full season in his career, only played 47 games last year, where you know, you like to see better numbers in the rebound area. I mean, he only averages about 4 rebounds per game. That's not what you want to see from a center power forward. In my mind, big guys who rebound the ball are still so important and vital in the NBA. And before we go away, I want to talk about some undrafted free agents who I was really kind of disappointed in the Suns for not grabbing. That being Zylan Cheatham and Lu Dort from the ASU Sun Devils. Because you need something to generate excitement here in Phoenix, because quite frankly, your pace of play and your quality of play ain't going to do it right now. So I know it's a cheap move that plenty of people have done before, is getting local prospects to come and help out, and maybe they're good, maybe they're not, but at the end of the day, hey, maybe it'll work out. Sounds a lot like people like Christian Kirk, who turned into the number 2 receiver for the Arizona Cardinals last year. Lu Dort, Zion Cheatham, I think are going to be good enough players to make it in the NBA, not as a starter maybe. Of course, there's a chance. We see it with undrafted, do that occasionally. But they could be great role players. And instead, Zion Cheatham to the New Orleans Pelicans, that might be fantastic with how young that core is there. Zion Cheatham can become a great second stringer this year for New Orleans. Yeah, probably not a playoff team in the West, but nonetheless. Then you got Lu Dort. I keep on throwing the Z on the wrong name there, but OKC Thunder, great for him because he's going to be playing alongside Paul George and Russell Westbrook, at least in practice. So great spot for him to grow there. I was really hoping that maybe instead of Zylon and Zion, it would be Zylan coming to Phoenix and doing something here. I would have loved to see those two Sun Devils here in Arizona start their career, even if it doesn't go somewhere, because I think that these two do have a lot of potential. Two guys who were expected to be drafted who did not. I want to go back to the draft. A couple of guys who, man, if you didn't think Bol Bol was not going to drop in the draft, okay, in the 40s was a lot. But when you're a guy who has only played club basketball in a couple games of college, I wasn't really that surprised of Bol Bol dropping back that far in the NBA draft. But it's going to be a good cleanup, though, I think, for Bol Bol being that low rated in the NBA draft. It puts a chip on your shoulder. So I know that he had a lot of hype around him, I guess, but could be someone to look forward to in future years. So before I jump out of here, I do want to go over, of course, the big names in free agency this year. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, both the Golden State Warriors, both injured as well. But I'm the guy who also said, LeBron James ain't leaving Cleveland that second time. I'm the guy who said, Kevin Durant, why would he leave Oklahoma City? That makes no sense. I'm the guy who said, Kyrie Irving, just stay in Cleveland. No need. Or at the very least, he loves Boston. He'll stay in Boston. Big goose egg on all those predictions, by the way. In my mind, though, if you're Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, why wouldn't you stay in Golden State? You're injured. So, at least for Kevin Durant, anyone who wants to sign Kevin Durant, you're essentially paying millions of dollars as a reservation. You know when you go to Topgolf and you got to pay for a reservation? That's what Kevin Durant is. You got to pay millions of dollars for a reservation to have him for those next maybe 1-2 years that you get out of that contract. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant, he's just going to sit there year one. He doesn't have anything to do because he's going to be healing from an Achilles injury. And maybe he wants out because maybe it was a bad diagnostics from Golden State. We don't know what he thinks. And, of course, Andre Iguodala comes out with his book and on a radio show and starts throwing all these haymakers out on, yeah, here's stuff going on behind the scenes with Mark Jackson and the organization and this and that. So a lot to digest there at the very least. And then Klay Thompson, everyone talks about guys wanting to go to New York. Please hit me up at DevinHenry77. Why does everyone want to go to New York, a system that was completely dysfunctional, that lost Kristaps Porzingis, arguably their best draft pick from a dismal team here in the past decade or so? Why do people want to go to New York so bad, supposedly, from all these reporters? Kawhi, why wouldn't you want to stay in Toronto and go back-to-back? I'm constantly wrong about this stuff, but I just don't always understand why the need for all this change every now and again. So, in my mind, Kawhi stays in Toronto because there's still a good group there that can go back and try to win another NBA championship in the East, especially if Kyrie Irving ends up not being in the East, or even if he does go to the Nets, that's not a team that's ready to go to the Eastern Conference Finals in my mind. Kevin Durant, why are you not going to stay with Golden State, try to win another chip? Same thing with Klay Thompson. You're going to be injured for the first part of the year. We saw this with DeMarcus Cousins. He didn't get a lot of money. Then he got re-injured quickly. I don't know what he's going to be worth here in free agency. I think that that's a good indicator of what might happen when it comes to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Go ahead and stick around there. But I'm more interested in the guys who I talked about earlier, those strong role players who are going to make a difference on teams. Sunday, 3 p.m. Usually it's called LeBron week, but this year I'm still super interested in what's going to happen in free agency. They can actually start signing on July 6th. Stick around, guys. We're going to whip around the state of Arizona, what's going on in sports. A quick whip around here on the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back, everyone, to the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com. Devin Henry here. Jumping around, we're just going to whip around here real quick. What's going on here in sports in the state of Arizona, starting with the Arizona Rattlers and the Tucson Sugar Skulls, the IFL playoffs. Sugar Skulls knocked out. They would have played the Arizona Rattlers, but now the Rattlers are going to be playing the Nebraska Danger here in the conference championship game. It has another weird name, but it's the conference championship game. If the Rattlers win that game, the IFL United Bowl Championship will be right here in Arizona. It'll be at Gila River Arena in Glendale at Westgate. So that's something very exciting to be looking at as the Rattlers look for another world championship. Arizona Diamondbacks action. We are just almost exactly 2 hours away from first pitch for the D-backs Dodgers, third game of the series. D-backs at home trying to get a series win against the Dodgers. They won one of the games. Lost yesterday, though, 3-2, as I mentioned. You got Ketel Marte in the All-Star vote hunt, so it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do against the Dodgers because, quite frankly, they're just really good. But it'd be great to see the D-backs go up against the Dodgers back to 500. They have now fallen below 500 following their loss against the Dodgers. Someone who has not been getting any views essentially whatsoever is the Phoenix Mercury. Diana Taurasi, still an unknown date of her return. And, well, the Mercury, to a degree, have kind of been hurting. Only 1-2-3 wins so far over the course of 8 games. So 3-5, they take on the Fever on Friday. But Brittany Griner is trying to break some more records, moving into third place in league history for blocks overall. Leilani Mitchell, 22 points. So, excuse me. We keep on going, keep on going. Brittany Griner keeps on showing up and trying to, I mean, she's still really young, trying to get into the hunt. of moving into the lead for the WNBA in blocks. Part of the reason why, she's just so tall and so lengthy. She, you know, there's just one thing. I was at the preseason game against the Sparks, and you know, you watch her, and you just wish, I just wish that she'd have the ability to be a little bit more aggressive down low so that she could be a dominating force down in the post. Someone who you just feed the ball if there's any sort of just not even a mismatch, just a shorter center, someone that she can just overpower, spin, and knock it off the glass. She just doesn't always have that aggression and that power to dominate in the low post offensively. But defensively, like I said, third in league history when it comes to block for Brittany Griner and the Phoenix Mercury. Like I said, they'll play the Indiana Fever moving forward, and that will be on Friday. Then they will be on the road to take on the Seattle Storm on Sunday. This is another team who has multiple championships, so hard to say arguably the best team, second best team in the state of Arizona when it comes to a franchise, but here we are with them having multiple championships and being in the hunt here the past couple of years. Do you want to touch on the Women's World Cup while we are here? Brad Sesmat will talk more on that tomorrow, and man, it's heating up. You had the United States just barely squeaking out a win against Spain back on Monday. That was just a 2-1 win barely after they had such a dominating performance in group play. And now they got to take on France. That's another powerhouse. Depending on who wins that game, they will play the winner of Thursday's game, England versus Norway. If that's England, holy cow, three straight incredible games that the U.S. might have to play against these national powerhouses. Then you look on the other side of the bracket. Hi, Germany. By Germany, they're certainly in the championship. At least that's what it looks like. They got to beat Sweden on Saturday, and then they will play the winner of Italy versus the Netherlands. More than likely, though, it's going to be Germany. But, man, how about this stack that the U.S. women's team would have to play when it comes to bracket play? Spain, France, potentially England, potentially Germany. I mean, those are arguably the four best teams historically, countries historically, when it comes to Women's World Cup play. So that's a quick whip around what's going on in the state of Arizona and the world of sports as well. We're going to take one more break, bring you back for a short little segment on what's going on in motorsports and NASCAR moving on to NBC for the rest of this year. You're watching the Brad Sesmat Show here on Sports360AZ.com. Glad to have everyone back here on the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com. Brad will be back in studio tomorrow, and of course, Goody's going to be with him. I saw Toy Story 4. I thought it was phenomenal. They saw Toy Story 4 about 2 weeks ago. They've talked about twice now on the Brad Sesmat Show. If you're missing out, be sure to go to sports360az.com. Here, I'll do it with you. Bring up your computers, sports360az.com, and then you just go and you click on the Brad Sesmat Show. Boom! That was easy. You're welcome, guys. Go to the Brad Sesmat Show. You can check out all of our archived episodes. You can also check out what's going on live. This will run all day long. You can click on play and watch it as many times or as little times as you would like to. And take a look at the rest of the Brad Sesmat Shows from the past couple of weeks. Had some great analysts on like Phil Steele, Casey Jacobson, Greg Esposito last week. Of course, our good friend Pedro Gomez and Bill Goodykoons constantly on the show here. Great to have him. All of them really constantly on the show, giving us some great insight here on sports360az.com. And I know, guys, you hate commercials. I'm giving you commercials. But at the end of the day, these guys believe in us. We are completely self-funded here, so be sure to go and support the guys that you see that we're playing commercials for here, because they believe in us. We work with them to help them out. They help us out. And they believe in doing community work. I just had a story out. Local motocross rider, local amateur champion motocross rider, hanging up the helmet now that he's graduated high school. This is a kid who could have tried to go pro here in the next couple of years. Instead, decided, I am going to join the military. I want to go into the Air Force, serve my country as an Air Force pilot, applied to the Air Force Academy in Colorado. They said, no thanks. So naturally, what does he do? The answer is not quit. The answer is he's going to ASU to be part of their ROTC program instead. So, fun story. Loved working with Mark Dawson, his father Glenn Dawson, Bobby White over at Arizona Cycle Park, all a bunch of great help there, and a great story that it's probably my favorite story that I've ever worked on. So go check that out on the site as well. We'll keep talking a little bit of motorsports here. NASCAR's now halfway through the season. Martin Truex Jr. takes the win at Sonoma. Him and teammate Kyle Busch now both have 4 wins, and I'm just waiting for Erik Jones to win a race because Joe Gibbs has been so dominant. Yes, Redskins championship quarterback Joe Gibbs, owner of 4 cars in NASCAR, just has been so dominant this season on just about every end of it, where arguably one of the top 5 driver production-wise was Kyle Busch. Then satellite program Levine Family Racing, Matt DiBenedetto, has his career best finish and the team best finish. There's something going on there that we need to look at, because there's something wrong there. They're doing too good. But here's what I want to talk about today in the terms of motorsports. Ratings are up, according to Fox, at least. I don't know how that's possible. Ratings are going down. Ticket sales are going down because NASCAR is long. There's a lot of different things for people to do. No one has an answer as to why live sports are declining definitively. We can say as much as we want, there's more things to do, more things to watch, DVRs. We all know kids aren't playing outside, so that's not one of them. But live sports are going down. NASCAR is going down probably the hardest out of all of them. But this year compared to last year, ratings are moving up. Fox has done a good job, and now that we have reached the halfway point going to Chicagoland next week, NBC is taking over, where you get Dale Earnhardt Jr. back in the booth with the NBC team, with Steve Letarte also on there, the crew chief there. Also, Dale Jarrett makes a lot of appearances. Rick Allen is a phenomenal play-by-play or a lap-by-lap for NASCAR, so it's great to have them all up in the booth and roll and rotating in and out, as a lot of them do throughout the year. So, also Jeff Burton. I can't believe I forgot that. Jeff Burton is also in there. A 4-team booth, and it works with a lot of popular guys in there. So, NBC, even back when the XFL happened back in the 2000s when they were promoting that, NBC is great at promoting, great at advertisements, both digital, television, video. They are great advertisers. And with some major changes coming in NASCAR here in the next couple of years, I think that they're going to succeed in helping their own ratings continue to increase. There's a lot of races, both Cup and the lower class, almost the AAA, you could call it, Xfinity Series, are going to be on national television. Here's where I get confused, though. So, F1 is essentially the only thing that ESPN has as motorsports anymore. I don't watch ESPN for motorsports. The only time that I ever had was when they had NASCAR in the Indy 500. In the Cup Series, that is, because their NASCAR analysis has never been good. Beyond the actual NASCAR people on NASCAR Now, NASCAR Live, stuff like that. So now F1 is all they have left. That's the only NASCAR they have had left. And essentially they have fired everyone but Ryan McGee, who has anything to do with motorsports. So somehow, though, and by the way, it's just the rights. They don't actually broadcast it. It's just the rights to the broadcast that ESPN has. And it plays in the middle of the morning because it's not a decent time in Monaco when it's a decent time in America. So Lewis Hamilton has been ridiculously dominating F1 this year. He led almost every lap this past weekend at their most recent Grand Prix, also did the same in the Canadian Grand Prix 2 weeks ago. But F1 fans love that, when a single guy leads every single lap for 2.5 hours. F1 people love that. Now, on an oval in NASCAR, it's different. Follow the Leader is not fun to watch on an oval. It's different in road course racing, in my mind, because of how intricate and how advanced courses are when you're making right-handed, left-handed turns in large braking zones. And it's just so different, where 2 seconds on an oval is so different than 2 seconds on a road course. It's just so advanced and intricate. But even when somebody like Martin Truex Jr. dominates the final stage of a race, NASCAR fans still aren't happy. Racing fans still don't think it's a good race. There's this major cultural difference between F1 fans and NASCAR fans. Because even the IndyCar fans at Road America enjoyed a dominating performance there in that race, Alexander Rossi. So it just perplexes me. Why in NASCAR is a dominating race not okay, but in F1 and IndyCar, it is. Now, IndyCar has a much smaller audience than NASCAR. F1, though, has the largest motorsports audience internationally of any motorsport across the world. So there's just this giant disconnect between F1 and NASCAR fans. I'm a firm believer, alongside guys like Kevin Harvick, if you are a fan of one form of racing, you can be a fan of any form of racing. That happened to me. I grew up watching sprint car racing. I love sprint car racing. Then I got into NASCAR. Then I got into Supercross. Then I got into motocross. Then I got into IndyCar, and now I'm getting into F1. If you like one form of racing, you can like any form of racing. It's true, and I believe in that fully. So why is there this major disconnect between quality of racing from F1 to NASCAR? Domination in F1 to domination in NASCAR. I don't understand it at all. Where I firmly enjoyed the Sonoma race, where Martin Truex Jr. dominated the last stage, William Byron dominated the first couple stages, and that's it. And people are not satisfied with that conclusion. But in F1, the F1 fans love when Lewis Hamilton once again dominates a race. So it's just something that I keep looking into because I just don't understand it. If you do, hit me up at DevinHenry77. So we're going to wrap up here. As you can see behind me, ISM Raceway. Super excited. There's going to be a champion crowned at ISM Raceway between probably Haley Deegan or Derek Krause. And we're going to have not a weekly, it's going to be about a bi-weekly, as in two times, bi-monthly, I'm sorry. Or I guess that's still bi-weekly. So, English, bi-monthly and bi-weekly can mean the same thing. Once every 2 weeks and twice a month is both called bi-monthly, bi-weekly. That's strange. I slapped the microphone. But going to be having a notebook on what's going on there. So when the championship does come to ISM Raceway, you know what the heck is going on, because those are going to be two future faces of the sport. So be sure to be on the lookout for that on sports360az.com. I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you, Brad, for everything that you do here at Sports360AZ, because he's going to be coming back tomorrow to host the show. A lot of great stuff up on the website. I'm going to keep making stuff for the website when I am done here, so we're going to keep on rolling on Sports360AZ.com. Thank you to the chairman of the board today, Devin Henry. I'm Devin Henry. We will see you tomorrow, but Brad Sesmet will be right here. Thanks for watching here on Sports360AZ.com.